Good morning. So good to see you all in here and all of you who have come to join us via Zoom. I pray that you will have a personal encounter experience of the Holy Spirit this morning as we worship together and hear the voice of God speaking to your heart. A married couple struggle to adjust to distinct personalities and a new life together. Love gradually subsided and became cold. With their marriage in crisis, they try a last resort to mend their relationship and sought out a marriage counselor. The male counselor was enthusiastic and compassionate. He listened attentively while the wife outlined her grievances, the main one being that her husband neglected her. "We've been married hardly over a year," she said, "but he never pays me any attention. He never takes me anywhere, never takes an interest in my appearance, and certainly never shows me any affection. He seems bored with me already." Listening to her plea, the husband simply shrugged his shoulders, and the counselor decided to jolt him from his complacency. Jumping up from his chair, the counselor walked over to the wife and kissed her passionately on the mouth. As the wife slumped back into her seat in shock, the counselor turned to the husband and said, "Your wife needs that at least twice a week." The husband was dumbfounded by the doctor's extraordinary remedy and replied shyly, "Well, I can bring her here on Mondays and Wednesdays." A broken relationship may be complex, but there is always a solution. More often than not, a problem and solution coexist. The coexistence of two contrasting realities is like a coin with two sides. It sometimes does not make sense. So when we see a problem, we try to find the solution somewhere out there. But in the gospel lesson this morning, if you pay close attention to it, Jesus enumerated many examples of the coexistence of two contrasting realities. I'm going to use the term often this morning. The coexistence of two contrasting realities. Let me point out those examples. Jesus said, "You will see me no more, then after a while you will see me." That is Jesus' absence and his presence, his death and life, the crucifixion and the resurrection. "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." That is the grieving and the celebration. The birth pain and joy of a new life. A time to pray in need, a time to receive what was prayed upon, a time of figurative speaking, and a time of revelation in plain sight. Jesus' arrival into the world and his return to the Father, a time of loneliness away from friends and the Father's timeless presence, a time of trouble and a time of peace and victory. There are two interesting observations about those examples. The first one is that the two contradictory realities have a brief time lapse. "You will see me no more, then after a while, little while, you will see me." Jesus was to be absent briefly. Grieving will be short and will soon turn to joy. Birth pangs are quick and are soon forgotten after the birth. The little time lapse between the two contradictory realities is ignorable. Compare 3 days of absence with 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry in public view. Mathematically speaking, it is 3 days versus 1,277 days minus 3 days. Jesus' absence was merely 0.24% of the time. And Jesus was with the disciples 99.76% of the time. In idiomatic expressions, Jesus was absent less than no time, or no time at all, or a blink of an eye. Spiritually and biblically speaking, Jesus is always present in our lives. He came to be with us and continued to be with us through His Spirit. Absence of Jesus is just our feeling. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is our eternal Emmanuel. Another observation is the two contrasting realities happen in the same place. Jesus died and rose again in Jerusalem. The joy of holding a newborn baby in mother's hand is right where she labors. A place of problem is where a solution is found. A place of trouble is where the joy of living is. At the very place where we feel Jesus' absence, Jesus is with us. So what do those two observations tell us? They prove that the two contrasting realities coexist in the same place and at the same time. So we are dealing with the same coin all the time, in the same place at the same time. Two sides of the coin. Now, with that, let us look at our current troubles from that perspective. Some may mistakenly think that believers are not supposed to suffer at all because Jesus is with us. But they still face two contrasting realities, both joy and trouble. When they are in trouble, they say God is away from them. But God is present with them both in times of trouble and peace. Jesus made it very clear about believers facing troubles and said, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, Jesus, the plain word of Jesus. Believers will have trouble. And Jesus said this word before facing the crucifixion. So what does that mean? The subject, you will have trouble, you, includes Jesus himself. We all have trouble, and Jesus was not the exception. I have struggled with this question a few times during ministry. Why do I suffer to serve God and His church? There got to be a trouble-free church somewhere over the rainbow. And I have found no church yet out of 40-something years of ministry, and I never will. The coexistence of the two contrasting realities is going to be always there. We got to live with them. So when you are in trouble, don't be discouraged by it. God is with us despite troubles. The coexistence of two contrasting realities also teaches us that only a portion of our life, not altogether, only a portion of our life is occupied with troubles. Joy and peace from God fill the rest. When we face challenging problems, we tend to focus on them and think our life is full of problems. It is our misjudgment, and we are missing out on the bigger picture. We have two choices. One, we can look at troubles and doubt about God's care. Two, we can turn our eyes away from troubles and see the areas of God's goodness and mercy. See, there are two realities, the trouble, but also God's grace and mercy is there. That must be. We cannot deny. We make a choice every time we are in trouble. In his final address to Israel, Moses preached about the dual realities and said, "I have set before you life and death and blessing and curse. Choose life. Choosing life is not hard for you, neither is far off." That's what Moses said. Everybody has two different sides of life. We can be happy today by choice, right? We can be happy today not because we don't have any trouble, but because we choose to see God and His grace in our life today. Lastly, do not let troubles trouble us. Jesus said, "In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus rose again from the dead victoriously, and His promise of victory is certain. The believer's lifestyle, as Jesus set forth, is to live in peace despite troubles. We all have troubles, but do not need to succumb to them. Instead, we can rise above them and be joyful. How do we choose life over death and overcome all the challenges of life? By believing in the presence of the risen Christ. "I am not alone. Jesus is in my life. He watches over me. He knows and meets all my needs." When we trust in God, troubles are no longer an issue. Trouble is there, but they are not going to be an issue. I'm going to use the sanctuary piano to illustrate the coexistence of the two contrasting realities and how faith helps overcome our troubles. You may not have noticed that every piano produces two different sounds: harmonious music and noise. I mean it, seriously, I'm going to prove it to you just a minute, right? When a key is pressed, a corresponding hammer strikes a metal string. What we usually hear is the sound of the vibrating string. What is not heard is a noise from a complicated mechanical gadget called action that is placed between the key and the hammer. Piano has 88 keys. Each key connects to an action consisting of about 60 different parts, most of which are made of wood. At the push of each key, all the wooden pieces in each action move and make a rustling noise. Now, I have asked to Diane to play a piece for you and see if you can hear any noise when Diane plays a piece. That's beautiful. America the Beautiful. That's a beautiful song. Now, did you hear any noise? Why not? We, of course, did not hear it. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't any noise. Now, I'm going to demonstrate just a minute. Our piano has a special function to disconnect the action and the hammer. When a key is pushed, it will move the action, but not the hammer. This way, the sound from the string is eliminated so that we can hear only the movement of keys and actions. Okay? So now, I'm going to ask Diane to play the same, the America the Beautiful, with this silence function on, okay? And I will let you hear the noise coming out of the piano. From the beginning, okay? America, man. Say amen. Amen. Did you? Did you hear the noise? Yeah. Of course. That's the noise I'm talking about. Okay? The piano shows very clearly about the coexistence of the two contrasting realities. Our life makes both a noise from troubles and also a joyful music that God has designed in our life. The America the Beautiful did not sound beautiful at all with that silence function on. In a typical setting, a piano produces two kinds, mechanical clutter from keys and actions and beautiful sounds of the string. But we do not and cannot hear the noise. Why? Because the sound from the string is louder than the noise. Plus, there is a thing called the soundboard that amplifies the sound of the string. So when anybody plays, people don't hear the noise. And this is exactly how our faith works. When our life produces two different kinds of sound, making us realize the two contrasting realities in our life. But faith and the life of prayer work just like the loud sound of the string and the soundboard. Faith and our reliance on God through prayer silence noise from troubles and amplify the beautiful music God makes for us. We all have troubles in this world. But by faith, we can rise above the troubles and be at peace, regardless of the circumstance. Amen. Amen.